you decide to stay closer to home this summer, heading to your local pool might be a good option, especially if you have kids in tow. So what does Kansas City have to offer? With the traffic that our city's pools get during the summer, how does our Parks and Rec Department maintain them? And without the right precautions, pools can sometimes turn into dangerous places, especially for young children. How do we keep them safe and let them enjoy themselves at the same time? Those are subjects for this half of the show. Now, do you spend a lot of time at the pool? What's your favorite area pool that we can go to, too? Give us a call, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also share your favorite pool and its location by Twitter. Send us a message at @KCURUpToDate or post it at KCUR's Facebook page. Well, here to dive into our conversation are three people who know pools and pool safety. First, we'll talk with Sherry Sage, the state coordinator for Safe Kids Kansas. Welcome, Sherry. Are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. What are the most important things parents should be paying attention to when they take their kids to the pool?
Well, I think one thing that parents need to keep in mind is that kids drown quickly and quietly. It's not like what we see in the movies. A drowning child, they don't, you know, splash their arms or cry out for help. You know, when a child or anyone who is in distress and water, their energy is focused on getting their next breath. So oftentimes, if you are not paying attention, if you're not providing active supervision, your child may be in the process of drowning and you don't realize it. So we tell parents the most important thing that you can do is to actively supervise your kids. Now, we know from surveys we've done that about 90% of parents say they supervise their children while swimming, but they also acknowledge that they're engaging in other distracting activities at the same time. They're talking or eating, or they're checking Facebook on their phone, or taking care of another child.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that it sounds strict, but there's really just no room for compromise on this one. You have to stay where you can see, hear, and reach kids in water, especially your infants and toddlers. They need to just be within arm's reach. And even though it's wonderful having lifeguards who are trained, you know, it's their job to keep us safe, but it's not their job to watch your kids either. So don't feel like you can take a break just because you're at the pool and you have lifeguards on duty.
Well, I think you made a good point there, too, that the way it is in the movies, people are flailing about and they're shouting for help. If something happens to your child that they are slipping under the water, you really aren't going to see much and you probably won't hear them call out for help, correct?
Absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, some people, you know, when you enroll your children in swimming lessons, which we do recommend, sometimes parents get the idea that, okay, my kids know how to swim. They know how to be safe in the water. But you can't assume that swimming lessons make your child immune to drowning. And these swimming aids, like the fun water wings and noodles, those are great. Those are fun toys for kids. But you can't rely on them for safety. And they can't be used in place of, say, a Coast Guard-approved life jacket.
Yeah. Should kids take swimming lessons? Is it your opinion they should take swimming lessons before
Absolutely.
They're allowed to go to the pool
Absolutely.
By themselves or jump
we
in by themselves?
Yeah, we advocate for that. It's a great thing to get your children trained in swimming and also mostly for life-saving. You know, if they even know how to tread water, that's fantastic. But, you know, we know also that every child is different. So you need to enroll children in swimming lessons when you feel that they're ready.
Right. And sometimes kids never feel totally comfortable around the water, correct?
Absolutely. You know, some kids are you know, born fishes, and others are never that comfortable. But if they can at least learn life-saving techniques such as treading water or floating on their back or even just teaching them, you know, stay near the pool's edge, you know, especially when they're first learning to swim, that can make a big difference.
Tell us a little bit about pool entrapment. Are there ways to check the drains in a pool to make sure a child is safe? Because we do know, unfortunately, of stories where kids have gotten their hair caught in a drain and drowned.
Absolutely. And while the Virginia Graham Baker Pool and Spa Safety Act does address the dangers of pool vacuums and drains in public pools, we know also that, you know, we have a lot of kids that are using private hot tubs and swimming pools, and people may not necessarily, the owners may not necessarily be aware of these dangers. So one of the most important things that you can do is, for prevention, of course, is to teach children not to play around drains, because we know, where's the first place the kids want to go? They want to go to the drain. They want to play with the suction and feel that. But those suctions, without anti-entrapment devices and without the emergency vacuum cutoff, those can be very dangerous, and they can entrap children. Sometimes they can entrap children to where they're actually underwater, so they can't get a breath of air, and they could drown. And then we have other instances, like the poor six-year-old who was actually disemboweled by sitting on a drain. And of course, these most dangerous drains tend to be in the kiddie pool areas. You know, when you're in a large pool, oftentimes those drains are down deep, where it's you know, children aren't necessarily getting close to them.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at hot tubs and you're looking at the kiddie pools, those drains are right there where the children are. So it's just good for people to be aware and educate children, and make sure that any pool that your or spa or hot tub that your child is in, that you've talked to the owner and make sure that they're aware and that they have gone back and retrofitted, if it was purchased before December of 2008, then they need to have taken those extra precautions to make it safe.
Okay, well, Sherry Sage, thank you so much. Sherry is the state coordinator for Safe Kids Kansas, and you can learn more about pool safety on our website, kcur.org. Now, if you go to a city pool or a larger facility, you'll probably see those familiar red shorts, white shirts. They're lifeguards, and they're there to do more than keep your kids safe. Joining us now is David Kilpak, the aquatics director at the Redbridge Family YMCA. He also trains lifeguards. David, thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you for having me.
Now, how can, we talked a little bit with Sherry about this, but how can parents work with lifeguards to prevent pool accidents?
Well, obviously, a parent should constantly and actively watch their kids. If you have unexperienced or non-swimmers, you should put them in a Coast Guard-approved life jacket. And if you have young kids with you, you should probably be within arm reach of your kid at all times when you're in the water.
What makes a good lifeguard?
I would say making a good lifeguard, you're looking at somebody that likes to pay close attention to details. They are being proactive, you know, when they're one of the ones that are going to be asking questions. Maybe, you know, if they see something, they're going to kind of say, hey, you know, are you a good swimmer? We do here at the Y, we do a I'm drawing a blank, sorry. We do a pass the test, lose the vest. So when they come in, they're going to, if they want to be able to swim anywhere in our pool, have to show us that they can swim the length of the pool. And then if they do, they get a green band, and we're going to know that they can be anywhere in the pool. And if not, they're going to get a life jacket and a red band. So.
And how do you train your lifeguards at the Y?
You know, we take a 3-day class on different kinds of learning the different saves, the skills that you need. And then we spend a lot of time with how to scan the pool and knowing that you have to look through your whole area within 20 seconds because it only takes 20 seconds for a kid to drop below the water.
And that's what you kind of train them to watch for that?
Yeah, we train them to watch for, you know, if the kid's going vertical in the water or anybody goes vertical in the water, you know, they're going to stop moving forward. You know, their eyes get really big, you know, things to look for, signs that'll kind of say, hey, need to pay extra attention over here.
Do you have any technologies or, like, devices lifeguards can use today that probably weren't available decades ago?
Well, definitely decades ago. You know, they all have a rescue tube with them. You're not guarding without a rescue tube. And those rescue tubes will hold up to about 700 pounds. So, you know, the nice thing about that is if, you know, a lifeguard gets caught or they grab them and they weren't ready for them, you know, those things, as long as that tube's there, it's going to hold them up.
So is a tube is it like styrofoam or like a life jacket? Or
it's like foam, and then it has a hard plastic, well, not hard plastic, but a neoprene covering around it, so it's flexible. But yeah, that's kept there. And you know, they've come a long ways with different kinds of technologies along the way.
And what kind of common risk of injury do lifeguards have to handle?
Common risks of injury, you know, there's a lot of stub toes at the pool and things like that. So, but, you know, if it, besides that, you'll see them splashing and then a whistle will be sent. The guard will enter the pool. You know, most of the time they're right there on the top. They just grab them and get them back to the side. So that's the most common we probably have.
Well, I was a lifeguard in Overland Park a few years ago, and I do remember a lot of the injuries weren't in the pool, and a lot of it was from these kids just running and having a lot of injuries that way.
Definitely. Most of the injuries in the pool are going to be outside the pool, from stubbing a toe to getting a little too excited and running and slipping. We do a lot more Band-Aids and first aid than we do actually enter the water.
Well, what mistakes or risks do you see people taking at pools that you wish they didn't? If you could give one piece of advice to people about pool safety, what would that be?
If you have young kids, just don't turn your eyes off of them, you know, play with them, engage with them, because, you know, it's amazing how fast they can go under the water.
Well, and yeah, there is this temptation to use the pool as a babysitter, but it sounds like that's something that you're not in favor of.
No, definitely not. They are very responsible people in the stand, but, you know, there's a lot of people and there's no better eyes than yours on your own kid.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for being with us, and this is great advice. David Kilpak is the aquatics director at the Redbridge Family YMCA. He also trains lifeguards. Dave, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, finally this hour, someone who knows Kansas City's pools quite well, Tammy Tritico is an assistant manager for the Kansas City Parks and Recreation Department, and she oversees its aquatics division. Tammy, welcome to you.
Thank you.
I want to jump back to a question we asked Sherry Sage from Safe Kids Kansas about the danger pool drains can present. Are drains part of what the city looks at in its pools?
Several years ago, the Virginia Graham Baker Act was enacted, and which basically said all the drains had to be anti-entrapment, and all of our pools have those special drain covers on them now.
Well, so that's good to know. What other parts of the pools does the city monitor and repair most frequently? What's on your to-do list most of the time?
Oh, it depends. It depends on the pool. We have 41 different aquatic bodies, ranging from spray grounds to water parks. And it could be painting the pool. It could be repairing caulk. It could be just a number of things. It just depends on the pool and the age of the pool.
And they're really expensive, too, to run.
They are not inexpensive, no.
Well, we want to know from our listeners, what is your favorite place to go in the summertime to cool off? What's your favorite pool or spray ground? Our number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Now, how many pools and spray grounds does the Park and Recreation have and maintain in Kansas City?
We have 41 in about 30 different locations. So some pools, you know, are single spray grounds. It's just one body of water. Some are, like our water parks, may have four different bodies of water that we're actually maintaining.
So there are a lot of places to go.
Yes.
We also have joining us today Nicole Asquith from the city of Olathe. Welcome to you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
What kind of fun water parks, spray grounds, activities do you have in Olathe?
Absolutely. We operate currently 4 outdoor pools, including Black Bob Bay, which is our big water park area. And then we have Lake Olathe and several ponds, fishing opportunities throughout the city as well.
You also have sailing lessons?
We do. We offer sailing through our Parks and Recreation programming and summer guide. We do that at Lake Olathe. They offer it just periodically throughout the season. And then users can also go out and rent. They can prearrange to go out and rent kayaks and canoes and get out on the water that way. So it's Lake Olathe is a low wake body of water for us.
And Black Bob Bay, that's what you call your...
Yes.
That's kind of an elaborate setup, isn't it? Tell us about it.
It's a beautiful facility. It was renovated 4 years ago. We see about 100,000 guests come through the gates every year, which is wonderful for us. We've got the splash park, the zero entry for the young kids. We've got the 2 water slides out there, the dive well, and then the original pool that's been there for years was also renovated as just, you know, a general swim area, laps, that type of thing. And then we have the river walk, and we do a special workout throughout the week at 7 p.m. where you can go and just walk the river against the current for that good workout.
Oh, wow. Well, Tammy, what's the most popular spot, do you think, in Kansas City for people who want to cool off in the summertime?
I would say the Springs Aquatic Center. It's not unlike Black Bob's, or it's got a variety of activities, a variety of programming to do at the Springs. And that's actually up north of the river in Tiffany Hills Park.
Okay, so that's the big deal. How many people come through there a year?
It's about 72, 70, it'll range. This summer, probably not so many because it's been a cool summer, but 75,000 people.
Wow. Nicole, you're nodding your head. Has it been kind of slow in Olathe because of the
well, you know, the cool weather,
summer?
People haven't been hitting the water as much as we'd like them to. So we're still hoping that we'll hit that 100,000 mark as we have the last 3 years. But, yeah, it's definitely been a slower season for us this year.
And is that that's got to make a difference then in terms of the budget for how you maintain it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I don't know about KCMO, but Olathe, we try to make sure our pools are self-sufficient in running and, you know, break even at the end of the year. And it is difficult to do that when, you know, your memberships and your individual day passes are down. So
yeah, you don't have the traffic. Tammy, do you have to be a citizen of Kansas City to go to these places?
No, you don't. As a matter of fact, we have lots of people from the surrounding areas, Liberty, Gladstone, even from the Kansas side, Overland Park, Grandview, and, of course, Kansas City residents.
How about you, Nicole?
No, we offer two different rates. So we have a resident rate and then we have a non-resident rate. And that's basically the difference. And it's a $2 gate admission difference for us.
All right. Well, I asked Tammy this. What is it? What kind of things do you have to do to maintain these pools and these water parks? How much money does it cost a year to keep up the pool?
You know, I cannot honestly answer that question off of our budget. I know as far as staffing is concerned, we're one of the largest first employers for our community. Many teenagers start in our program where their first job. Just to run Black Bob, we're over 45 staff members at any given time running that with our concessions and our deck and our lifeguards. And we have four pools that we're maintaining. So it's not just Black Bob that we have to worry about out there. So, you know, staff is in there before the pool opens, cleaning, doing their water quality. They're there until midnight. If something goes wrong and it needs to be fixed, there's no closing. I mean, it's not an option to close the next day. They're going to be out there and getting everything back together and up and running for our public as quickly as possible.
Yeah, Tammy, I do remember in my days as a lifeguard, if the pool didn't open for some reason, and it was very rare, but could have some electrical problem, people are not happy. They really expect that to be there.
People are not happy and when you can't open a pool. And if you can, it's for a safety or a health reason why you can't open it. And I totally agree. There's all those things that you have to prepare. And we also are a huge youth developer with these kids with their first jobs. It's all those things, those skills that you want them to take with them later in life. The coaching that you give these young people is incredible. Some of them get it quicker than others. Some of them, you can see the maturity rate when they come back year after year after
mm-hmm.
year.
That's a good point. You're talked about monitoring the pool for health concerns, or you talked about closing it for health concerns, perhaps, or safety. How do you monitor for things, you know, whether bacteria and things like that can get into the water?
The health department, the Kansas City Health Department, requires us to check the pools, the pool chemical level twice a day. We check the big pools every 2 hours. Our spray grounds, because of the amount of people that goes in, and the smaller the body of water, the harder it is to be balanced. And those spray grounds don't have a lot of water. My smallest ones only have about 1,100 gallons. That water rate turns over much quicker. Mm-hmm. So we're testing that water every 30 minutes.
Wow. Nicole, do you have lifeguards at your facilities?
We do. All of our facilities have lifeguards, and we do training throughout the year. We're constantly looking for new and more, and that's part of that youth development piece. Is a lot of them come in, that's their first job, is to get up on the stand and be responsible for life. So it's, you know, exciting and fun, but something that they have to learn very quickly to take seriously.
Tammy, what kind of training do your lifeguards have?
We actually have two different kinds. Our indoor pools with the community centers are trained under the American Red Cross standard. Our outdoor pools are with StarGuard. So those are two of the four recognized bodies of lifeguard certifications that the city recognizes.
And how do you do it?
We're American Red Cross also. So all of our guards go through that training throughout the year. And then they do a special water park training and in services. That's the other thing people don't understand is those lifeguards don't just get their certification and go. They're getting in services throughout the summer as well.
And do you see a lot of these? We're talking about this as a development tool. Do these kids keep coming back year after year?
Absolutely. You know, you have some that start as a deckhand, and then they're now pool managers for us, and they're responsible for the lifeguard schedules and all those pieces. And then we have them come back. It's kind of fun to see somebody pop back and see our aquatics director, Connie Kanabe, who's been there for several years. And, you know, they come and talk about what they learned from her as a boss and what skills they developed. And they're in their 30s and still remembering their first job.
Yeah. But you remember yours.
Oh, I remember very, very well. Lessons. Do both of you have lessons that
yes.
you offer for kids?
We offer kids lessons. Actually, we'll teach adults as well. I personally like to teach adults. I always think they're most challenging. But we have lessons from 6 months on up to adults, either in an indoor pool or at our outdoor pools.
And do you have a lot of adults who want to learn to swim?
Not as many as I would like. It takes a real special person to want, that's an adult that wants to learn how to swim. They really, really want to overcome. Usually it's a fear to learn mm-hmm. how to swim, as opposed to kids. Well, it's like, well, mom signs you up and you're going.
Yeah. Nicole, same thing?
Same thing. We offer swim lessons throughout the year. We partner with our school district to offer indoor lessons during winter. And then we actually have a pool that we close early every night so that we can offer lessons at one central location in the evenings, and then we have two in the morning that we offer through. And again, we offer, it's funny, our adult swim lessons, they do very well. They fill up. As a mom of a young kid, I know swim lessons is like the competitive thing. Trying to get in and get those slots is difficult. We've been full for the summer in almost every class since our catalog came out in March.
And I want to ask about for low-income families, what do you offer? What do both places offer for families or children who are low? Oh, Stephen, starting – okay, we can finish the question. What do you have available?
Our swim lessons are very economical, $35 in our outdoor pools, ranging up to $50. But it's very, very economical at $35 for a set of 8 lessons that are 30 to 45 minutes long each. Plus, we've worked with some of our day camp daycares and done more of a snapshot.
Okay. And we offer a scholarship fund through the City of Olathe that residents can come in and apply for, and then they receive everything that we do at 50% off once they qualify for that scholarship.
Wonderful. Thanks to both of you. Hope the pool season picks up a little bit here, too.
Thank you.
Once again, Tammy works with the Kansas City Parks and Recreation Department. Nicole is with Olathe Parks and Rec. Thanks again for being with us.